As well as sending people down, you can send autonomous submarines. Professor Russ Wynn is Chief Scientist of Marine Robotics at National Oceanography Centre. He joins us now. Wally seems happy enough to go down. I would go down. So why would you think of sending a robot down instead of a willing volunteer?
There's a lot of different uses of marine robots in the sea, and some of them are either dull or dangerous or what we might call dirty. So there's applications in the marine environment where we might want to send out a marine robot to do something for months at a time that would be really boring if you were down there doing it yourself. There might be areas that we want to access, such as under ice in polar regions where we just physically can't get to at the moment with manned vehicles. And there might also be areas where we would need to respond rapidly in a situation that could be both dirty and dangerous, like an oil spill, where the ability to send a robot out quickly or to send 100 robots out quickly would give us an advantage. And again, that's just something we couldn't do with manned vehicles.
Lots of applications there, but also down there you have to deal with astonishing pressures. How do you engineer something to ensure that they just don't get crushed under all that weight?
Well, we run a fleet of yellow submarines at Southampton that are depth rated down to 6,000 metres. And actually, when you see the yellow submarine, and you know, some of the listeners will be familiar with the sort of images of Boating at Boatface and other yellow
submarines. I'm thinking
subs
of the Beatles. We all live in a yellow submarine.
Exactly. So that's really what they look like. They just don't have people in. And the actual outer shell is fiberglass and it's free flooding, so that outer shell isn't totally depth rated to those pressures. What we have inside, the important bits of the vehicle, like the computer, the batteries, the sensors, they're all individually pressure rated and inside aluminium or titanium housings that mean that they can withstand pressure down at depths up to 6,000 metres.
And when you say flooding, do you mean literally parts of the submarine flood whilst these other areas, these electronics, don't flood?
That's right, yeah. So the outer hull, as it were, the water comes into that, and so it's neutrally buoyant effectively, and then the inner important bits, the guts of the machine, are the ones that we really protect. It's a bit like a human being, you know, you've got your rib cage protects your really important bits, but your skin is what's holding all the water in.
It's an interesting thought, isn't it? I dread to think what would happen to our skin if we went down that deep. Now, are these things entirely autonomous, or are they something that you control from the surface?
So at the moment, we have two types. We have surface vehicles that we can control via and communicate with via satellite, a little bit like mobile phone communication. So with those surface vehicles, we can keep in contact with them all the time, get data back from them and talk to them and command them to do different things. For the vehicles that go down into the depths, at the moment, they typically have an endurance of a few hours to a few days. And what we'll do is we'll give them a mission that will go into the computer of the vehicle. The vehicle will then go and complete its mission as best it can, and then it will come back to the surface and it will be collected. So at the moment, they're relatively unintelligent. And what we're moving into now is an era where those vehicles will actually be able to adapt to the environment that they're in. So if they find something interesting on the seabed, they will be able to make a decision about how they then go and change their strategy to go and look at that in more detail. And also we're looking at having the vehicles processing a lot of the data they collect on board, and they can only then send snippets of those data back to us, maybe via a surface vehicle that acts as like an acoustic communications gateway. And that way it means that they're sending back the really important bits of information so that the pilot back home can then make a decision about what to do next.
So can you give me a couple of examples, perhaps your favourite missions that are currently going on?
Yeah, so BOTIS, the yellow sub that many of the public will have heard of, and it's just come back from a great mission down in the Southern Ocean near Antarctica, where it's flying around in a current where cold water is being transported from the poles into the rest of the ocean. We're trying to understand how variations in that current might reflect a wider signal of global warming and environmental change. So by actually being able to fly BOTI within that current for periods of up to 3 days at water depths of several thousand metres, the scientists that were leading that project got new insights into that current and how it might be varying over time. And there's no other way they could have collected those data. We've also just come back from a mission in the North Sea where, again, a BOTI-type submarine was looking at how we can use that technology to monitor our ability to store carbon dioxide in subsea storage reservoirs in areas like the North Sea and lock up that carbon dioxide and therefore hopefully mitigate the increased carbon dioxide levels that we're seeing in the atmosphere. And obviously what you want to try and do is make sure that that CO2 doesn't then start leaking into the ocean and then back up into the atmosphere. So we can use these yellow submarines to go out for weeks and months at a time doing very routine survey of the seabed and making sure that carbon dioxide is locked up under the seabed where it should be.
Oh, I do like the fact that this Sir David Attenborough's boat was called, the submarine on board was called Boating McBoatface. What was the one from the North Sea, the CO2 mapping submarine called?
Well, the technical name is AutoSub Long Range. It's a vehicle that our engineers developed at the National Oceanography Centre. But actually, it's that AutoSub Long Range family is what we're now calling the Boaty family. So there's not just one Boaty submarine, there's three, and soon there's going to be six. So that family is growing quite quickly, and we've got all sorts of ambitious missions planned for that family of vehicles in the next few months and years.
Cool, imagine that, a whole family of Boaty boat faces. Many thanks, Professor Russ Wynn from the National Oceanography Centre.